Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
David sent me a note and said, hey, Steve, check out the story on CNN. Scam artists lurking on dating apps and social media made away with a record haul in 2020. And I talked about how a lot of the scams and frauds that are going on seem to have ramped up during COVID. And that's because a lot of people sit around nothing to do on their hands but check out the internet, both the bad guys and the good people. So this is by Shirin Ali. And, you know, people expect that nowadays modern dating might cost you some money, but a new report released by the Federal Trade Commission says this is also hurting people in the pocketbook. A record $304 million was reported lost in romance scams. So there was a lot of scams going on last year, and the FTC's reported on those, but just specifically romance scams, over $300 million. Scammers on dating sites and dating apps, social media, striking up conversations with strangers, building up trust, and then asking for money. The prevalence of these types of scams has been steadily rising for the last 4 years. In 2020, though, there's a 50% jump in reported dollar losses from romance scams from the previous year. The pandemic's made things easier, creating legitimate reasons for scammers to hide their real motives, claiming they cannot meet in person or they need money for medical treatment. The FTC estimated on average $2,500 was sent to romance scammers in 2020, more than 10 times the median loss across all fraud types. So it's an expensive scam. Given the rampant use of social media and the rise of online dating services, the opportunity for scammers to prey on individuals is only growing, explains an analyst from the FTC. And I've mentioned before that I love watching American Greed with Stacy Keach, the narrator. And one of the common scams is that some guy or gal will go on the internet and start looking up people and preying on people who are lonely. And unfortunately, there's lonely people out there with money. And they become targets for people who know how to, you know, exploit that. The analyst says to be able to make that connection and do it remotely is something that may not have been possible a decade ago, but it's very much possible and socially quite common now for people to make love connections online, and they're taking advantage of that. Wait, has this woman never heard of the chat rooms on Yahoo? What about AOL? Scammers often invest months and even years into building trusting relationships with their victims. They may ask for money to pay for a plane ticket, medical expenses, or debts. The director of the AARP's Fraud Watch Network told CNN she's seen victims' losses ranging all the way up to $900,000. In some cases, victims end up cashing out their retirement funds or life savings under the assumption they're honestly helping somebody they care for and who needs help. And I saw a story about a week ago. Didn't do a video on it, but a woman thought she was talking to Bruno Mars online, and he mentioned that he needed some money for his concert tour. And she fronted him a whole bunch of money. And, of course, it wasn't Bruno Mars. Bruno Mars actually has money for a concert tour if he was going to do one. The director of the AARP's Fraud Watch Network said that victims of scammers are simply trying to find a genuine connection with someone and that they are often smart, educated, worldly people, and they fall in love. Like thousands of innocent consumers, one woman who's 68 years old from Chicago thought she met a fellow neighbor off Nextdoor, an online community hub. The scammer posed as a man living in her neighborhood, and she said the two began exchanging messages that felt innocent enough. And then he said he couldn't wait to meet me. He was enamored. We had a really nice conversation and all kinds of things. But within 4 weeks, the red flags started going up. Scammer asked for a gift card so he could watch movies for an upcoming international flight he was going to take. She agreed, but then shortly after he asked for more money, this time it was for $2,000 to replace work instruments he lost in a cab. It was at this point that she realized she was being scammed. He just kept coming up with all these excuses, presumably as to why they couldn't meet, but why he needed more money. Once she realized the intentions, she immediately posted about the fraud on Nextdoor and her Facebook account. She was shocked to see how many women had responded with similar experiences to hers. According to the FTC, gift cards and wire transfers are the most commonly used payment methods by online scammers, both of which can be difficult to track. The FTC admits it's not easy pinning down scammers who many times are based internationally and use fake names and photos. I've mentioned before a while back that there's that common one where you get the email from somebody that appears to be your friend, and it goes, hey, I got bad news here. I'm in England, and I lost all my stuff. My passport was stolen. I'm appealing to you because you're a friend of mine, but I need to get to the airport. I've got important business back in America, but can you get me a couple thousand dollars? And I got one of those from somebody I knew would never send me that message in a million years. And I wrote him back, said, sure. I emailed him right back. I said, yeah, absolutely. How can I help you? And the guy goes, I need a couple $1,000s. And I said, cool. You're good for it. How do I get you the money? And he goes, send it Western Union. And I said, oh, okay, Western Union, huh? And first I made him jump through some other hoops. I said, by the way, I've got a friend in London. Just go visit my friend. I'll give you their address. And you can go get the money from them. They'll hand you cash. No, that won't work. That won't work. So eventually I said, fine, I'll wire the money to Western Union. I said, I'm pretending like I'm stupid. Does it matter? Like, do I have to send it to a particular branch? How's it work? No. Just go to Western Union. You pay them some money, pay them a fee, and then they'll give you a routing number, and you send the routing number to that person. Then they can walk into any Western Union and get the money. So they could actually be in your hometown. But I said, oh, okay. I went online to find out what a Western Union routing number looks like. How many digits? How many, you know? And I just made one up. And I emailed it and said, look, here, you know, here's the routing number. I hope you get the money in time. Godspeed, my friend. And about 45 minutes later, I get a message and they go, that routing number is not good. And I go, what did I send you? And they send it back. And I'm sorry. I transposed the last two digits. Try that. And if you are inclined to do this and you get the same email I got, see how many times you can get them to go back before they give up. Now, here's the thing. If they have a smartphone, they can be standing in the lobby of the Western Union office doing this. But the point is that you can make them walk up the counter and go, try this one. Okay, try this one. Okay, try this one. And finally, I got one where they called me a bunch of names and said they'd leave, you know, go away, and which, good. That was the point. So the FTC analyst said that their data suggests there's room for improvement in fraud detection and prevention. Oh? But for now, the FTC and the AARP both emphasize that consumer education is the most effective method in combating online romance scams. Teaching people how to identify fake profiles by flagging what types of questions scammers usually ask, talking to someone you trust about the new digital love interest, and trying a reverse image search of the scammer's profile pictures to detect if they're associated with another name. And that's another one. If they send you a photograph, they claim it's them or their child, just reverse search it on the internet. You can find out quite quickly that it's one that's being used by lots of people. One of the other things I've mentioned recently is that I said, look, I'm on Facebook. And if you want to friend me on Facebook, do that. And then I post notices on Facebook every time a new video goes up. So people say, Steve, I didn't get a notice about your latest video. Like me on Facebook, and I'll post things on Facebook. So, of course, as a result of that, I accept 99.9% of all friend requests. And what will happen is I'll accept 10 or 15 one day, 10 or 15 the next day, and I'll accept someone's friend request, and 10 minutes later, I get a thing goes, hello, how are you? Direct message, hello, how are you? And I'll write back, and fine, how are you? Have you heard the news? And what news is that? And it's always that they're giving money away. There's a government program that they're, and what's funny is they'll always take a few minutes to respond because they've got like 20 people they're talking to. And they do this all day long, claiming there's a free fund of money that you can get your hands on if you only give them a couple bucks. Or sham job offers, where people actually say, I got a job that I can make you money. And I actually got an email message through Facebook the other day. It's kind of funny because the photograph looked like a real guy and it listed a local city here in Michigan. And so I get a lot of people from Michigan who friend me because they go, oh, this guy's from Michigan. This is kind of cool. So this guy who claimed to be from Michigan friends me. I'm no big deal. He's one of 2,000 of my friends on YouTube. And he goes, hey, how's it going? I go, good. How are you? And he goes, I got a job for you. And now I've had people who address questions to me, things like that. Well, they'll say, I got something you need to look into. Like, so I thought he meant like, I got a job for you to like look at this case or take a look at this. And I go, oh, really? And he goes, yeah. He goes, I'm looking for go-getters right now. Anyways, the ironic thing is that he was going to try to sell me getting into a multi-level marketing scheme based out of the western side of Michigan, if you know what I mean. And I wrote the guy back and I go, I already have a job. And he goes, I don't care. He goes, it doesn't matter how much you're making. You'll make more doing this. And I said, nah, it's okay. So I blocked him and I haven't gotten any more inquiries from him since then. But there's a lot of this stuff going on out there. Again, we talked about this before. If you've got people in your life who don't know this stuff, tell them. But it's unfortunate. But you might think Craigslist or Nextdoor or Facebook or something, you might think it's local. There are people sitting in internet cafes in Africa right now, in Asia, in Europe right now, going into all the little local groups and saying, yeah, I live here. It's not hard for them to go onto a map and look at street names in a neighborhood. And yeah, I live on this street. And I've heard of stories where people have gone into Craigslist and somebody in their neighborhood is selling a car. And it's a great car at a great price. And something feels off about it. So they reverse search the image and it pops up that it's been posted 1,000 times on Craigslist. And it's in every single little local group. And the same thing on Facebook, where, you know, for sale near you, and something pops up and it's, oh, wow, that's in my neighborhood. And it lists a village or town near you. It's not. And so some of these things, they evolve over time, but some of these things are making it really, really easy to look like they're local, when in fact they're 8 time zones away, 3 continents over. And so trust me, once they get your money, it's gone. Scam artists lurking on dating apps and social media made away with a record haul in 2020. Shirin Ali wrote the story. David sent it to me. Thanks a lot. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Why do ghosts like to ride in elevators? Because it lifts their spirit.